Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome to my favorite part of the afternoon, getting to spend time with you. I really do love this, prescribing hope for healthy families. So wherever you are and whatever family life stage that you're in, thank you for tuning in. We just love having you here. It's so encouraging to know that there are people out there who are looking for hope, and we are here to deliver that. Listen, if you've been following along since January, you know every week I have challenged you with a different habit to integrate into your family life for healthy families. And for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about not what to do, but more how to be. We've talked about being an influencer last week, and this week we are talking about being resilient. In this world, we will have trouble. I say that here all the time. It's God's word, it's true, but there is such a big message there. But take heart, or be of good cheer, because God has overcome the world. And so on Friday, I'm going to be talking about ways that we can cultivate resilience in our families so that when we face trials, when we face setbacks, when we face tragedy, when we face difficult things, we can have already resilience cultivated into our family so that we can know that in all those trials, we can have hope. And I think about the verses from James, to rejoice in various trials, because the testing of our faith produces patience, and let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And by the way, those verses end, if any of you lack wisdom, ask God, because he gives freely and abundantly to those who ask. And my guest today is a walking, breathing story of resilience. I'm so excited to bring this guest to you and his story. We've got Kevin Chandler here today. Now, he grew up in the foothills of North Carolina, and he is diagnosed with a rare neuromuscular disease. Some of you may have heard of, some of you may be familiar with, some not. It's called spinal muscular atrophy. And in 2016, he and his friends took a trip across Europe, but they left Kevin's wheelchair at home, and his friends carried him for 3 weeks in a backpack. Now, he has written about his story. There is a book for adults, for grown-ups, for older readers to read about. But what we're talking about today is his children's book that is a children's accessible version of this book. It's called We Carry Kevin. It is a beautiful, uplifting, heartwarming children's picture book that follows Kevin's true story adventure of being in his, usually in his wheelchair, but seeing his friends carry him around Europe in a backpack. Now, I want you to picture this: dancing in the streets of Paris, trekking through the English countryside, climbing the island of Skellig Michael. Kevin got to experience places he could never otherwise go and discover the joy of trust and the possibilities of courage. Now, for me, as you all know, I'm a pediatric nurse practitioner. I work with children all of the time who have chronic conditions, or who are differently abled, or who are dealing with other physical diagnoses. And it is so inspiring to see what they can do and what is possible for them. And I think about how this message of Kevin's book will resonate with so many. And many of you may have someone in your family, or you may know someone who would be so encouraged by this message. So without further ado, Kevin, welcome to the show. We're just so thrilled to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jessica.
Well, why don't you just start with telling us just a little bit about your life and how you grew up? I know you have an older sister as well who has spinal muscular atrophy. Let's just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. You did such a great introduction. I'm trying to fill in the blanks there. I have an older sister, Connie, who also has SMA, and then we have a older brother, Andrew, who does not. And we grew up in a really creative home with a lot of joy and imagination and just creativity to solve problems. And I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but when my sister was diagnosed with SMA, I had not come along yet, and the doctors told my parents that if they had more kids, that would probably be the same case. Any more kids that they had, it was a very likely chance that they would have the same disease. And as the story has been told to me, my dad took my mom's hand and said to the doctors, well, if what you're telling us is that we have another child like Connie, that's okay with us. And about a year and a half later, I showed up. And I'm really thankful for my parents' decision and choice for growing their family and choosing life like that, and just their dependence on the Lord. It's because of that that I'm here. And so I've gotten to kind of witness that throughout my life. Like I said, we grew up in a home that while the world would say, well, you can't do this, this, and this because of your disability, my parents and my brother and sister and I, we all kind of looked at those situations. We looked at what we wanted to do and what was expected of us that we couldn't do or what we should do, and just, you know, pushed the envelope where we could and figured out creative ways to do things every day. And so what that looked like in our home was inviting people into our home so that the way we did things was kind of normalized for our friends. And we also, my parents put forth a lot of effort to have us out in the world. You know, we were part of a church and a youth group and played soccer as a kid and t-ball and went camping with other friends and slumber parties and, you know, I went to I was in a regular class in a regular school. And when I got older and my disability was more progressive, I had an assistant help with taking notes and things like that. But for the most part, my parents just did a really good job of kind of putting me and my sister in the able-bodied world and walking alongside us. And I don't know if they meant to, but really trained us to interact with the world around us and connect with it. And so I think all of that really influenced and informed my adult life and how I interact with the world around me, of inviting people into my needs, but also stepping into other people's worlds and being a part of that.
Well, you know, Kevin, I really do feel a little bit emotional hearing you share those sentiments, because I know so many kids who are not differently abled, who have some of the abilities probably that you wish that you had. So many kids who feel depressed and anxious, and we've been talking about suicide prevention and some kids who are more afraid of life than they are of death. And to hear you thank your parents for giving you life despite all of the what other people looking in would see as limitations, I think is such a beautiful gut check for all of us to say, wow, you know, and to see that your faith is what is guiding and informing so much of that hope that you found. And your parents sound like very wise and loving people. And I would love for you to share, what do you think they would say to young parents out there who are listening right now? I know we have parents who are listening right now who are navigating situations where their children or their grandchildren have disabilities or accessibility challenges. What words of encouragement would your parents give them?
Well, something that's really neat is with the ministry that I have now to families with disabilities all over the world, my parents are involved in that by doing this very thing, by talking with parents who have questions and concerns, anxieties about having children with disabilities. And so I would say, you know, their biggest thing is it sounds kind of silly and simple, but just saying it's going to be okay. It's okay. Kind of take a deep breath, and there's going to be challenges, and you're going to run into a lot of well-meaning people that are going to give you a laundry list of things that you need to do. And I feel like my parents give parents permission to really know their own child and evaluate things and make those choices of, well, this may be medically a good decision, but is it best for their quality of life, or, you know, different things like that? Are we going to go to physical therapy 6 days a week, or are we going to go twice? And that way they can also rest and enjoy friendships and, you know, things like that. And so I think my parents say it much better because they went through it themselves. And so I'm probably butchering it, but I just really, at the end of the day, what I have loved witnessing from my vantage point is my parents bringing families into their home and sitting with them and hearing what they're going through and what they're trying to figure out, and just being present with them and saying, it's going to be all right. We have a God who cares, a God who loves us, and he's not going to leave you or forsake you. And so with that, you can take courage, you know, and you can rest in him. And I just think so much of life with a disability, especially for parents, is kind of a go, 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 you know. And so I feel like, again, my parents have given other parents permission to slow down and kind of think through things and process.
That is so wise and so instructive and encouraging for people who want to help and want to say the right thing, but just, you know, sometimes we want to fix it or we just feel awkward stepping into that situation. And, you know, there's a lot of questions that people have, Kevin. And one of the things I'm very grateful for is your openness to answer these questions that people, you know, may want to ask, but feel like they don't know if it's appropriate, but we have permission to ask those things today. And so one of the things I want to ask is, what are the things, Kevin, that you wish that you could do? And how do you navigate that just as a holistic person, emotionally, spiritually, and physically, not always being able to do those things?
You know, I get asked a lot about, like, have you ever been angry at God, or do you have, you know, things that you really wish you could do? And I would have to say that, you know, I've spent my whole life, I'm 38 years old. I've spent my whole life in a wheelchair. I've never known what I'm missing as far as walking or having the normal strength that would be expected of someone my age. And so I think that has been kind of a grace in some ways, because I've never had this great desire to be different. It's just, this is very normal for me. But there have been maybe moments where I've wished that I could do things, and especially over the past 4 years, because I got married in 2020, and my wife is just the most amazing and gracious and wonderful person in the world. And so I don't know, I just, there are so many things on a daily basis that I wish that I could do in a more traditional sense for her. You know, I wish I could go run errands for her while she does this thing, or I wish I could hold the door or dance in the kitchen, or, you know, different things that, you know, if there's a day that she's sick, I wish that I could bring her breakfast in bed, you know, kind of thing.
She sounds absolutely lovely. Oh, Kevin, I hate to cut you off because we have a break coming. When we come back, I want to hear more about your wife, and I want to hear about this backpack trip across Europe. So don't go away. We'll be right back. Meet Kelsey. When she found out she was pregnant, she wasn't sure where to turn. But after meeting with the counselors at a preborn network clinic who loved and supported her, and after hearing her baby's heartbeat on a free ultrasound, she chose life.
When a mother looks at her child through a sonogram, it does something to you. You know, I ended up deciding to keep my son, who is now 5 years old today. He's amazing. He brings absolute joy to my heart. I could not imagine life without him. Not only did they help me save his life, they saved my life.
By introducing a woman to her baby on ultrasound, a baby's chance at life doubles. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby, or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com. For Dr. Nurse Mama, I'm Jessica Peck.
Looking out my window, feeling the crescendo, sunset on a quiet sea. Sitting with the ones that I'll forever love, we're waiting on a flash of green. And even when the nights got cold, you have always held me close. You're the only rock that I could ever stand on. You're the only one for me. The sun goes up, the sun comes down. This whole world keeps spinning round. I'm here traveling down this long and winding road. Seasons come and seasons go. They take me high, then leave me low. But I'm still standing on the only rock I know. You're my cornerstone.
Welcome back, friends. Listen, I am just so encouraged to bring you today's message. I feel like we are so blessed to hear about the life of Kevin Chandler. Now, he is diagnosed with a rare neuromuscular disease called spinal muscular atrophy. And today we're talking about this very creative, amazing adventure that he had where he left his wheelchair at home and had his friends put him literally in a backpack on their back, and they trekked across Europe. Now, Kevin has shared his story in a book, but he has a new book called We Carry Kevin that shares it in a picture book for children. And I encourage you, as you're thinking about your Christmas shopping, yes, I did just talk about Christmas. It really doesn't matter what day of the year it is. We can always think about that and prepare that in our hearts. This would make such a great gift for children in your life, whether they are differently abled or not, so they could have perspective on this amazing story. And so before the break, Kevin was just giving us a glowing report of his wife. And I'm sure if she's listening, Kevin, you've gotten all the brownie points, like you've done all of the right things. It's so good. And I'm sure that praise is so well deserved. And it's so encouraging to see that, you know, just joy in marriage. I think that's so incredible. And so if you want to say anything else about her, I'll let you finish up your thought.
Yeah, well, you were asking about, has there ever been anything that I wish I could do? And I, you know, maybe moments here and there throughout life, but especially in marriage over the past 4 years, and, wanting to serve her in maybe more traditional physical ways of like caring for her and doing things for her. And I you know, you say I've already given a glowing review, but it's just going to get more glory and bright. Because what she does in those moments is that she meets me there. And she graciously finds ways for me to still serve her in those moments. And so, you know, we've found ways to dance together, and she moves my feet so I can use my footrest to bring groceries in. And sometimes I'll just run errands with her just to keep her company, or read to her while she does the dishes. And these are all things that, you know, she could say, well, you're not doing it the way, you know, normal people would do it. And this is frustrating, but she actually just dives right in and finds joy and love in that. And so I think that's been a great healing thing for me over the past few years, and just really, really wonderful. And then the other aspect of that is recognizing in those moments that, you know, Paul, when he writes to the church in Rome, he says that he's talking about our adoption as sons of God, and he refers to that as the redemption of our bodies. And so, and what I take away from that is that because of my relationship with Jesus, that makes up for any failures of my body, my physical form, and it redeems them. It more than makes up for them. And so I just have to find my identity in him. And then my wife, Katie, does a great job of coming alongside me in that.
Well, I want to hear about how all of this translates to going to Europe, because there are a lot of people who do not have the same limitations that you do, Kevin, but you think, you know, well, I don't know. Can I go that far? I don't speak the language. You know, just thinking of all of these barriers and thinking of the barrier presented to you by your wheelchair and, you know, those kinds of things. How in the world did this idea come about, and what did this journey look like?
Well, earlier I mentioned that I grew up in a home where we invited people in, and we also went out. We really interacted with the world around us. And so after college, I was part of a group of friends. You know, I was living out of my parents' house by then, but I still kind of adopted the same ideologies of how to live life. And part of that was that I was part of this group of friends that would play music and get together for potlucks and just really did life well together. And so the conversation came up of, you know, a lot of the homes that we would go into of our friends may not be wheelchair accessible, you know, an apartment, two flights up of stairs and things like that. And so we would often leave my wheelchair in the van and somebody would carry me inside. And so a conversation came up with a couple of the guys of, you know, what if we intentionally left my wheelchair behind sometime? What would that look like? What could we do? And long story short, we decided to explore the sewers in our hometown because we are boys and we grew up on Ninja Turtles and thought it would be a great idea to try out. And so we came up with a very rudimentary version of the backpack that I will forego describing because every mom listening would cringe. But it lasted for long enough, you know, a couple hours for us to try out the sewers. And we came out of that adventure and said, well, we survived that. What else could we do? And I had always wanted to go to Europe for various reasons. A lot of literature that I enjoy is from British authors from over the past century or so. And one of my favorite musicians was, you like music from the 40s. Django Reinhardt. He was a jazz musician from Europe. And are you familiar with him?
No, I am not.
Oh, man. Oh, well, you should look him up. He's pretty amazing.
Okay, I guess I'm missing out.
he was a jazz guitarist that lived outside of Paris. And he was, I mean, I would say, maybe I'm biased, but he was single-handedly responsible for transitioning swing music from the States to Europe, and really brought that spirit of it as well to Europe at the time that the Nazi regime was growing, and gave people a spirit to push back. And So anyway, I wanted to go to France and see where he lived. And I also had always wanted to go to Ireland because, you know, who doesn't want to?
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
And so I presented this idea to some of those same guys that went into the sewers with me. I said, what if we go to Europe for 3 weeks above ground? And they were all in. And so we kind of put together our team and developed a much better backpack. We worked with a professional company to put it together and headed off in 2016.
That is absolutely amazing. You know, as you're talking about that jazz music, I'm thinking my husband is not very musically inclined at all. And his only claim to any music knowledge is taking one course in college on the history of jazz music. So I feel like he's telling me right now, yes, see, I've told you about this and I've heard about this. But I mean, the world, just all of the possibilities, Kevin, that is absolutely amazing. So what were some of your favorite memories from the trip? What were some of the favorite things that you saw, or did it all go smoothly? Were there things that were challenging? What was it like?
Oh my goodness. Well, that's what the book's all about, right? Is that's what I'm supposed
that's
to
right.
say.
Yeah, that's right. Buy it.
But yeah, go just read the book. And the show's over. No. There were so many moments around every corner. It was unbelievable. I mean, we actually left my wheelchair at the airport on purpose. And so for 3 weeks we had just the backpack and really no safety net. But I had these four friends that took turns carrying me throughout the day, and at the end of the day getting back to wherever we were staying and taking me off their back but still caring for me. It was just really a profound experience for me, humbling and inspiring all at the same time. And you know, we had these huge epic experiences, adventures. One day we got lost in Paris, and it's a very, very large city, and I think we walked around most of it for a few hours,
and
that was pretty fun. And if getting lost one day wasn't enough, well, that was for the morning. We had gotten lost, and we were on our way to a radio interview, and we just went the wrong way. And then we went the wrong way again and again. And a few hours later, we got there and managed to do the show. And if that wasn't enough, we decided, you know what? Today is summer solstice. It's the longest day of the year. And we had been told that night, the entire city was basically just going to be a big dance party. And so we took a metro, a subway, as far from our apartment as possible and got some dinner and decided to walk back through the whole night and just experience the city. And so, you know, you have these big, fun days like that that are really easy to tell stories about all day long. And then there's those moments like when we got back to the apartment that night and just getting to see, we're all exhausted, we're all happy, but we're all worn out. And yet these guys say, all right, now it's time to get Kevin ready for bed. And just seeing them continue to lay their lives down in that way was just really, those moments were just as meaningful as the big adventures.
Well, how did other people respond to you? I imagine, you know, I was just actually recently this summer in Ireland and in the other parts of the United Kingdom, and I did not see anyone, Kevin, being carried around in a backpack. I'm kind of disappointed. I feel like I missed out. But how did other people respond to this? How did they talk to you or engage with you? Or was there any interaction that you had?
Well, yeah, you know, it's funny because we just maybe at the beginning of the summer, we sent, it was about this time last year, we sent 6 backpacks to families in Ireland. So maybe you just missed them. It was, you guys were ships passing in the night.
I'm going back.
There's more and more of a likelihood that you'll see them around there. But at that time, 8 years ago, we were it. And man, the looks that we got, the stares that we got, the questions that we got were all just amazing, because they were all so different. And especially, I know I keep mentioning France, but especially in Paris, that was our first week that we were there. It was kind of a wild luck of the draw of what week we were there, because all in one week it was summer solstice, the Euro Cup was there, and it was Fashion Week, I think. So you had people from all over the world descending upon this city, and in a place that is already full of cultures and everything. It was just magnified. So that, I think that would be the best place to share about, because we had so many different kinds of people interact with us. And I mean, we had whole groups of people that would stop and take pictures of us. And one of my favorites is a guy we passed one night on the street. He was an older guy, and he just was walking towards us and started chuckling to himself. And as he passed us, he just reached up and patted me on the shoulder and kept going. There was another day that a guy took a selfie with us. And then 2 or 3 days later, we were on a street corner, and this guy next to us looked up at us and then pulled out his phone, and he didn't speak English, but he pulled up his phone, and it was the guy that had taken the selfie. And so
you're famous. So
some pretty kind of fun interactions like that. But I think my favorite was whether it was on across a street in the city, or on the metro, or on a train. I would see people from a distance watching us, and you could almost tell that they weren't sure what was going on, but they understood enough that there's something wrong with this guy physically, and these are friends that are carrying him. They're not paid caregivers or anything because of how we interacted. It was very obvious that we were friends or brothers or something. And so you could see the light bulb kind of go on for them, and they would just get this really sweet smile and go back to whatever they were doing. And I just really cherish those moments as well.
Oh, Kevin, that's absolutely beautiful. Well, listen, I've got a lot more questions. I really want to talk about this children's book and what the reaction of children is when you share your story. And when we come back, we'll have more from Kevin Chandler of We Carry Kevin. Do not go away.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We stand on the biblical truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are endowed by Him with the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
Why you ever chose me? There's always been a mystery. All my life I've been told I belong at the end of the line with all the other not quite, with all the never get it right. But it turns out they're the ones you were looking for all this time. 'Cause I'm just a nobody
trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Welcome back, friends. That song is Nobody by Casting Crowns featuring Matthew West, and talks about just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who saved his soul. And we're talking to somebody today who that is their story. That is their testimony that they have shared with us today. We're talking to Kevin Chandler. Incredible story about having a condition called spinal muscular atrophy, and yet saying, you know what? I want to see the world. So let me ditch my wheelchair. Let my friends make a backpack. We'll just figure it out and we'll backpack across Europe, literally. And you may have read Kevin's book called We Carry Kevin, but there is a new children's book called We Carry Kevin that really translates this message for kids. So can you see why I'm so excited about us, about this? It really helps us understand what true Christian community is. It's a beautiful story of uncommon friendship, of sacrificial love, where people aren't experiencing in their own lives giving or receiving, and shows how you can do this, how you can give, how you can receive. It also is a great way to introduce children to people who are differently abled in a very personable and accessible way, and inspiring friendship and self-sacrifice. And we have talked about Kevin backpacking through the streets of Paris and becoming famous. Kevin, I'm sure you never saw that coming in a million years, but I would love for you to talk about the children's book and just your heart for translating this message to be more accessible for kids, to inspire them.
Yeah, well, when we got back from Europe in 2016, we had been hearing from families all over the world, many of whom had disabilities somehow connected to their families, and they were asking two major questions. One was, where did you get this backpack? And the other was, where did you get these friends? And so we did two things to answer those questions. One was that we started a nonprofit to try to answer those more directly, and we've been distributing backpacks around the world for the past few years. We're in 45 countries, maybe a couple more than that, about 1,200 families around the world. Wow. Use our backpack now. And so that's, answers the question of where'd you get this backpack. But then we also, to answer the second question of where'd you get these friends, that's kind of the more complex but maybe more fun question to answer, because it's so nuanced and it has so many layers that we get to delve into over the years. And so one of the ways that we answer that through the nonprofit is saying, well, we'll start by being your friend. And we stay in touch with families as they reach out about the backpack. And another way that I wanted to answer that question but was by writing the grown-up book called We Carry Kevin, and sharing the story of us going to Europe and sharing some of my childhood experience and everything. And so we released that in, 2019. There it is. And we've really loved the response from people, including families that get our backpack. And it's something that the parents can enjoy and some of the people who use the backpack. But really the majority of the people that are actually inside the backpack when it's used are children. And it kind of bothered me, for lack of a better term, it kind of bothered me that the book that I'd written really for these children, they weren't old enough to fully enjoy. Their parents could read it to them, or they could enjoy some of the photos in the middle of the book. But I wanted I felt like they needed to see, hey, this is the backpack I'm using, and this is someone that does use it, and these are some of his dreams and fears, and these are his friendships, and this is how he's done it. I just felt like it could apply to them so much more if it was on a level that they could process and take in. And so we've been working the past couple of years on putting together this children's picture book that does just that. And we originally set out to make the book just to put in every backpack that we give away. And as it came together, I realized, oh, this is not just for those families. It's for everyone, mm-hmm. because it's a story, like you said, about disability and being different, yeah. but it's also a story about friendship and how to put others before yourself. And kind of the theme throughout the book is, Kevin is worried about this aspect of the backpack, but, you know, will they, his friends trip and fall, or will they know when he's uncomfortable, or will they take him somewhere he doesn't want to go? And all throughout the trip, he runs into those fears, and his friends say, trust me. And then Kevin does, or I do, the cartoon me does. And then we get to see the beautiful outcome of that. And so that was what I wanted to share with kids, especially that, if you can trust people, if you can have friends that you trust, and if you can be that trustworthy friend, there's the limits are, there are no limits. mm-hmm. The world is open to you and your friends to do some really incredible things together. And so it's been a joy to share it with people. My wife and I have done some touring, going to schools and churches and reading the book to kids, and have just really loved the conversations that come out of that, and seeing their response has been a lot of fun. And the artwork is incredible.
Beautiful.
It's by our friend Natalie Peterson. She is a background painter on the Wing Feather Saga animated series. And mm-hmm. and so she just brings a wonderful style to our story that I just love.
Well, I am on your website right now, and I'm looking at, it's We Carry Kevin, and it's K-E-V-A-N, but you can get there with I-N too, wecarrykevin.org. And Kevin, I'm seeing these pictures of beautiful, smiling kids with pictures and the mm-hmm. words that say, we carry Billy. We carry George, we carry Raynon, we carry BJ, we carry Poland, we carry Forrest, and all of these children. There's one that's in the snow, like getting on a snowmobile. There's some that are out in nature, just really making experiences accessible that are not wheelchair accessible. So tell us more about the nonprofit and what you do through that.
Oh my goodness. It is has been so powerful to see what these families do with our backpack. I mean, especially to look back and realize that 8 years ago, my friends and I, we were just going on a fun trip. You know, we were just some dumb boys, you know, having a good time kind of thing, wanting to have an adventure. And what came out of it was something that has changed a lot of lives and opened up the world to so many people and so many families and groups of friends as well. And so to get those photos and those stories and videos really constantly from families all over the world has been amazing. And so I mentioned earlier that something that we do with the nonprofit is keep in touch with the families who reach out about a backpack. And I said there's about 1,200 right now, and that number just keeps growing because people use the backpack and share about it, and other families say, oh, I've been looking for something like this, and we think this might work for us. And so my sister, Connie, is kind of in charge of keeping in touch with all those families. And so she gets these stories and photos of from families doing things that I would never have dreamed of. I mean, I remember seeing a photo from a family that the mom was carrying her daughter across a frozen lake, and another of a dad carrying his son up a active volcano. And
oh my
I think
goodness.
You mentioned a snowmobile, and maybe there's been a jet ski or two. Like, it's just crazy some of the things that these families come up with. But then at the same time, there are those who use it on a daily basis or in a more practical way of there's a family in Ohio not far from us that they use it to take their son out to feed the chickens and bring water out for the goats every day so that he can be part of their farm chores, and they get to have that shared experience. And I remember once we had a mom write to us and say, well, we would like the backpack because I think they were living in, it was another country, and it was a country that didn't have much in the way of handicapped accessible taxis or vehicles, handicapped vehicles mm-hmm. at all. And she said, well, we can't afford that kind of taxi, and we can't get his wheelchair on the bus. So if we could have a backpack, we can take him to his doctor's appointments on the bus and things like that. And so it's just been amazing to me to see the high-flying adventure and the really practical needs that are being met all over the world, and that we get to be part of those stories and get to see families not having to divide and conquer of, here, you stay home with Johnny while I take the other kids up this hike. Instead, a family can stay together as a unit and have an experience together. It's just really an honor to be part of that. And something that you may have also seen on our website, we have a section that we call our causes. And this is for a lot of our families. A few will still just buy the backpack outright. You have that option on our website to purchase it. But the biggest thing that we do is a lot of our families will fill out a form and we create basically a crowdfunding profile for them on our website. And it talks about their family and what they want to do with the backpack, dreams that they have. And there's usually a picture or two of the person that would use the backpack. And our encouragement to them is to share that with their community and get their community to come around them to raise the funds to get the backpack. But we also share it with our community and share it like this and on the radio and mm-hmm. things like that. Because if you give to a certain cause, once they get their backpack, they send us updates. And when they send us updates, you as a contributor to that cause get updates from them about what they're doing with the backpack. And so our hope through that is that it answers that second question of where did you get these friends? Because mm-hmm. what I've found is when I invite people into my need, that is a way to build friendship by being vulnerable. And it goes beyond asking for help. It's inviting people into your life and saying, hey, this is where I am. Will you come into it with me? And we do this together. And so that's kind of the message that we're trying to encourage families with. And these causes, I think they're a great way to do that. So if you want to check that out,
Kevin, check it out. WeCarryKevin, Kevin with an A, KEVAN.org, WeCarryKevin.org. And I'm looking at these precious faces under the causes on the website. And TJ gets to go too, I'm seeing, and Roaming with Rindley and all of these precious faces. And Kevin, what a beautiful testament to the value of life and the way that God has designed us and made us for so much more than what we think. And I'm just closing our time together thinking about the verse that, "Let the little children come to me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." And thank you so much, Kevin, for sharing your message of hope with kids all around the world, giving them an idea that anything is possible with God. Nothing is impossible for him. It's WeCarryKevin.org, or the book We Carry Kevin. And to my listeners, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Until I see you right back here tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.